Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It's called Skull Hill, a place of execution outside ancient Jerusalem's walls. Only common criminals were crucified. And that's what Jesus was, once condemned by the Romans at the urging of Jewish leaders. He went willingly to that cross for us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on For Us, the dramatic events marking the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now we relive the greatest act of love ever performed as Erwin Lutzer speaks on Jesus crucified for us.
When we think of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, which begins what we call the Holy Week, and then we think of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, that cluster of events that we refer to as Holy Week are surely the most special days on the Christian calendar. I know that Christmas is great, but remember, Jesus was born for a specific purpose, and not until you get to Holy Week do we understand why he was born. He was born crucified. He was born to die. When he came to Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, the intention was for him to stir up a demonstration. Because remember, he came to Jerusalem to die, and he needed to get himself crucified. And he knew that when he came to Jerusalem in that way, that it would stir up the already overheated anger of the scribes, the Pharisees, and the religious leaders, and he was assured that he would be put to death. The crowds that greeted him on that day, they were pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem, and they'd arrived in Jerusalem for the Passover. Sometimes it is said that the crowds who greeted him on Palm Sunday are the ones who cried, "Crucify him," on Good Friday. I don't think so. I think that the common people heard Jesus gladly, and they were the ones who welcomed him and said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It was a different crowd that insisted that he be crucified. Holy Week was a very busy time for Jesus. Not only does he come into the city of Jerusalem, but also it is then that he cleanses the temple the next day. He curses the fig tree. You have the Last Supper, and then that series of trials taken place at night. Those trials which condemned him. And now morning has come, and it is time for Jesus to be crucified. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. We have been using Mark as our baseline as we have done this series of messages entitled For Us in Agony, For Us Betrayed, For Us Crucified, and then For Us Raised from the Dead. And today we come actually to the 15th chapter, chapter 15. We began in 14, but we are now in 15, verse 21. May I read to you the next four or five verses, perhaps six or seven. Verse 21, "And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him." I need to pause here. Keep in mind that when it says the third hour, that's 9 o'clock in the morning. The time was calculated in those days, according to this schedule, from 6 in the morning. So you have the third hour, which is 9 o'clock. The sixth hour will be coming up. That is high noon. So the Bible says that they crucified him at the third hour, and the inscription of the charge against him read, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "You know, he saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. Just that far for now. They bring him to the place of the skull. Golgotha in Aramaic means skull hill. Calvary in Latin means the same thing. It was a place of refuse, apparently. It was like the city dump, but it was the place where people were crucified. It was a horrid place, and that's where they brought Jesus. Simon of Cyrene happens to be there for the Passover. Jesus has been carrying his cross, but he staggered under its weight and eventually gave way because, after all, he was up all night enduring those trials. And so Simon carries the cross of Jesus to the place of crucifixion. What I would like us to do today is to look at the various responses of Jesus, the responses of individuals and crowds that were there on hand for the crucifixion. So as we go through this text, and I'll also be referring to other texts, let us consider for a moment also that we are there. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" I used to sing that as a boy, thinking, well, of course I wasn't, but actually you were there. And so was I. First of all, let's consider what was the response of the soldiers to Jesus Christ's crucifixion. I think we could describe it as cruel indifference. Now, when Jesus is brought there to the place of crucifixion, they do offer him wine mingled with myrrh. Evidently, it was a sedative. And Jesus rejected it because he wanted to die with all of his faculties intact. He wanted to have a clear mind as far as he could have under those conditions. He refused to die drugged. He would bear our sin and he would bear it with the full weight of it. He would keep in communion with the Father at least until high noon. And so Jesus said no to what was offered him. Well, the soldiers brought him there, and the way they did crucifixion is the cross was laid down flat on the ground. The person who was being crucified would be put on that cross, and this time there would be nails that would be put through him. And then the cross was raised, and it would go down into the hole that was prepared for it, undoubtedly hitting with a thud. And you can just feel the pain that is going to go through Jesus as well as those who are crucified with him. The inflammation of the body, the tendons being torn, the burning thirst, all of the places of the body that were sensitive in high pain. And Jesus is crucified. It's remarkable that in four words here, Mark sums up the whole purpose of God in creation and in redemption, when it simply says there in verse 24, "And they crucified him." Those three words, "they crucified him," sum up everything that God has been about in this world throughout these years of history. And then the soldiers, they threw some dice regarding his clothing. Four different kinds of clothing. You think of the headgear, you think of his belt, his shoes, his inner tunic, and then the outer tunic, which was a seamless robe. It was a custom in those days for a mother to make a seamless robe like this for her firstborn son. It is entirely possible that this robe was made for Jesus by Mary. And there they are. They are throwing the dice to see who gets what. And that night when the soldiers went home, and their children asked them, "What did you do today?" They said, "Well, we participated in some crucifixions, and I have here his sandals, I have a robe, I have a belt," whatever it was that the soldiers took with them. What a tragedy. One of the things that most of them did not take with them from the crucifixion was the gift of forgiveness which they could have received. How tragic to be in the very presence of the one who can forgive them and leave with nothing to show for it except a piece of clothing. But I do need to ask you that when you attend a church, what do you leave with? Do you leave with a hymn? Do you leave with some thoughts that are edifying? Do you leave with some new truths that you're going to apply? Or is it that you leave basically and go home with nothing? Cruel indifference, that's the way I describe the soldiers. Well, what about Pilate? I would say that he was conflicted. Now, this is very interesting. The text says that above him, the inscription read, "The King of the Jews." Now, you know that it was customary in those days to write the crime of the person on top of the cross as a placard so people could see what he was guilty of. Pilate wrote the inscription, and the full inscription was, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Mark just picks up the last part of it, giving us the gist of what was written, "The King of the Jews." Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. In a sense, every one of us is standing at the foot of the cross. What is our response to the dying Christ? In this message, of course, I highlight various responses to Christ's death. For us as believers, this is really the pinnacle. This is the heart of the gospel, that Jesus died for sinners. And there are some people who would like to somehow take that truth and twist it so that it appears as if Jesus was only some kind of an example for us. No. Jesus was an example, but he bore the wrath of God. We have no idea all that was taking place during those hours when Jesus Christ hung on the cross. All that we know is that the Apostle Paul could say later, "God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now stay with me here for a moment. Here is history's greatest crime, the crucifixion of Jesus. And yet it is Paul's greatest glory. That's the mystery of God's purposes, isn't it? That we can look at something that was so horrible and we can rejoice in it because in that horror, our redemption was accomplished. I trust that you spend a great deal of time thinking about Jesus, thinking about what he has done for us, and the weight of guilt and wrath that was laid on him on our behalf. We never get over it. We never will get over it. Because Jesus is Lord God, but he's also Savior, Redeemer, and Friend.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Jesus Crucified for Us, the fourth message in a series marking the events of the last week of Jesus' life on earth. Next time, more on the reactions of those who killed Jesus. For Us is a five-part series we'd like you to have on CD. It's our gift to you in gratitude for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.